During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Listen, I'm proud of our players for the effort that they gave this year. This was a tough one. This one hurts, as it does with our fans, I know, and I'm proud of our fans. I mean, they were phenomenal today, and you know, it's a great community, and this was a we were trying to make this a community effort, and we came up a little short. So, but this gives us a little bit of what we have looking forward to us in the future. And that's where we'll go after we're done aching here. So, and it's a bright future, and we've got good players, and you know, we'll get over the hump here, the big hump. So that's this game right here. So, anyways, with that, my hat's off to the Patriots. They did a great job today, and Bill and Tom. That last drive was in overtime was heck of a job on their part.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, January 21st, 2019. My voice is hanging on after emceeing the pep rally on Saturday night on the KC Live stage down at P&L. It was wavering, and then 4 hours of screaming, and then some consoling of my children. But you know what? That was nothing like being with your kids to put things back in perspective. Until one of them refuses to stop complaining about what happened at the game and won't let me forget about it. Keeps you up all night. But you know what? That's what I'm there for. You know, the airing of grievances was late into the night in the St. John household. But here we are to talk about it for you. We'll help you get through it with Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star in studio with us right now. Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
You know, it has been it was a long weekend with lots of things going on, and it is
getting over the hump.
The big hump.
No. I'm
the big hump.
The tank is empty right now. The tank is. I left it all on the field, Sammy.
That's all you can ask.
Right. I left it all at the pep rally, I feel like, but I feel bad. There's some great Chiefs fans down there braving the extremely cold weather on Saturday night, but we tried to warm them up, and Sam, it was, look, if you're not a Chiefs fan or a Patriots fan, if you're just watching that is one of the more remarkable AFC championship games you'll ever see. An incredible fourth quarter that saw the Chiefs put up 24 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was 17-7 going into the fourth quarter, and the score of the game in the fourth quarter alone was, 24-14. And then the Chiefs lose in overtime. Let's just start there. Just overall, your thoughts on what you saw last night at Arrowhead Stadium.
This sounds really stupid. The Patriots beat the Chiefs at home, and they beat them on the road. I think the Chiefs are a better team. And, you know, in the past, they've lost with these just kind of embarrassing ways and moments, right? Like, we don't need to rehash all of that. But none of those teams, I didn't think, maybe you guys disagree, I didn't think any of those teams were good enough to play in or win the Super Bowl. This team's different. I did think that this team was good enough to play in the Super Bowl. I thought they were good enough to win the Super Bowl. They would have played a team that they lost to by 3 points. On the road, they're good enough to win that game. I don't know if they would have. I think they would have been an underdog. But that's the part that hangs with me. It's not the, you know, 0 points in the first half, the missed throw to Damien Williams, the offsides on Dee Ford, the coin toss. I know I'm just forgetting about a moment or two off the top of my head, but none of those is what's going to stick with me. It's just that this team finally was good enough to win the Super Bowl. and they lost a game at home, you know, with a list of 8 to 10 different things that if they did it a little better, they would have won.
Where among all of the moments that we talk about in Chiefs lore, the no punt game, the Lynn Elliott missed field goal game, and all of that, where will the D Ford lining up in the neutral zone rank among moments of Chiefs heartbreak?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is in tier one because, again, like this was the team that was good enough to do it, you know? The last time they had the number one seed was the year they lost to the Broncos at home, I believe.
They had the number one seed, 95 and 97.
Yeah. So this is, to me, this is tier one. This is, you know, this is worse than 21-3 against the Titans, you know, 38-10 against the Colts, you know, all that stuff because, you know, that those are embarrassing. I mean, that's just, you know, inept, embarrassing losses. But those teams really weren't going anywhere. You know, you win that game, you probably lose the next one, each one of those teams. You know, I just thought this team was good enough to do it. And, you know, the defense, it's kind of the story of the season, right? The way it went, other than the slow start, you know, you have this magician at quarterback that puts up 31 in the second half after being atrocious in the first half. Let's not forget that. But, you know, once the coin toss happens and, you know, they put their Hall of Fame quarterback on the field instead of you putting your MVP quarterback on the field, you don't feel good, you know. And I wrote about this in the column, the, you know, kind of the image that will stick to me. It's not the penalty or any of these other little moments. It's in overtime, the Patriots just methodically and, you know, just certainly like just marching down the field, and Patrick Mahomes, you know, this unicorn quarterback that Chiefs fans have been waiting damn near 50 years to see, is just on the sideline with one of those big ass parkas standing in front of the heater, you know, hoping against hope that he'll get a chance. And then at some point when the Patriots got inside the 20, I think, you know, he drops the coat and tries to, you know, go to the sideline to get the fans, you know, riled up to make some noise, because that's all he could do. Like that's the image to me of this team, is that you've got that guy who you feel like can do damn near anything, and he's useless in that moment because the defense is on the field and Tom Brady is on the field.
So the defense had their chances in the overtime. 3 third-and-10s in that drive that you're talking about in the 14-play drive. 3 times they forced a 3rd-and-10, and 3 times the Patriots converted. Over 500 yards of offense, and just appears, the inability to make in-game adjustments to what's being done to them. So many people thought that the Chiefs should have moved on from Bob Sutton this past offseason, and they should have. But once they decided to go with him, I really wasn't focused on complaining about that, because it wasn't going to change. He was going to be the defensive coordinator the whole year because they brought him back. Now, they can't bring him back again, can they? I mean, I guess they can, but really, I feel like there's going to be a suggestion that if they don't want to fire him, hey Bob, step down. We'll let you do it. You know, retire, step down. You want to spend time with your family, do whatever. You've had enough football in your life. We need a fresh voice. We need a new direction for the defense. That has to be the first thing that happens in the off season as far as changes being made.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I disagree with you there is they have to move on from. I mean, Andy Reid is a stubborn and loyal man.
But from that's the right thing, right?
In to your move opinion, on,
yes, right,
okay. Without a shred of doubt.
Okay, I can't tell you what Andy Reid's good, but from our, that's what they have to do.
Andy Reid doesn't deserve to win a Super Bowl if he's going to be that stubborn.
Without even a crumb, a tiny crumb of doubt. I mean, we've talked about this. I think, you know, we probably all, right, like thought that he should have been fired after last season. And it was just, it was worse than, I won't speak for everybody, obviously, but for me, for somebody who thought that he should have been fired after last season, this was even worse than I would have expected. Like you just mentioned, Stephen, the you know, the lack of adjustments. And think about this, you know, after last season, you kind of maybe had this excuse about, well, Eric Berry got hurt and, you know, that kind of threw the whole thing into a big old mess. They were pretty healthy this year. You can't, you know, healthy Eric Berry is not walking through that door, right? And overall, especially in that game last night, that's as healthy as they've been all year, right? Defensively. And they were actually, they were okay in the first half. They were good enough to be tied or better, you know, after about a half. That was on the offense. But, you know, the inevitability of the second half, of much of the second half, and not just that, but even in the first half when they were playing okay by their standards, you know, it just runs right up the middle. It's, you know, just they just have to do better. You can't count on Eric Berry, Chris Jones, Justin Houston, and D Ford all being healthy in a playoff game, and that's what they had, you know, and it still wasn't enough. Now they got a, I'd be surprised. I'll tell you this: I'd be surprised if he fires him. I'll be surprised if there's a, you know, relieved of his duties. But I think, you know, what you just said, I think this is, you know, there's a humane, in Andy Reid's eyes, there's a humane way to do this, and that's Bob Sutton saying, you know, I gotta whatever, go to the beach or be with my, you know, whatever.
Right.
There's a humane way to do this, but I guess I won't say shocked, but I'd be very surprised if Bob Sutton is the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs in training camp.
I mean, it's, we know that coaching is not a meritocracy the way that playing is. You know, there's nepotism, there's friendships and personal relationships that outweigh sometimes, like, you know, actual qualifications.
Yeah.
But if you want to do that, let him be a senior advisor. You know, what was Brad Childress for a while there?
Yeah. Senior offensive analyst.
Yeah, let him be a defensive analyst
and
if he has to be.
I mean,
you don't have to fire him even.
Yeah.
You know, give him some phony baloney job and pay him a bunch of money. I don't care.
And just let him have his own office.
Somewhere. Break down some game film for us, whatever.
Spread offense analyst. Brad Childress had several titles.
Yeah, here's the thing that I think it's going to come down to for Andy Reid, too, is, again, like, I think we all know this, right? He is incredibly loyal and very stubborn. But, you know, if the decision is, and this is the decision, how many years of this quarterback, in particular on a rookie contract, you know, where we have some resources to spread around a little bit, how many of those precious, precious years are we willing to throw away with a defense that nobody thinks is going to get, you know, even a field goal, you know, even hold the Patriots to a field goal? Nobody believed that in overtime. How many of those years are we willing to, you know, essentially waste, throw away?
I mean, they gave up 524 yards of offense. And I know I can't take away the interception that Reggie Ragland had, because that was a great play. And the defense was ready for a change. The defense was actually ready for the play that the Patriots ran on that play, so they deserve credit for that. But, like, the Patriots run the ball there, it could easily have been 21-0.
Totally.
You know, I mean, they moved the ball right down the field on the Chiefs on that drive, even.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, go ahead.
Well, it felt like the Patriots could do whatever the hell they wanted. Every time that, whether it was White or Burkhead or whoever, every time that there was a pass to a running back out of the backfield, it felt like those 7 yards the Patriots could get whenever the hell they wanted those 7 yards. I mean, just automatic. There was nothing the Chiefs could do about it. There was
nothing they were willing to do about it.
Yeah. Here's another, like, how about the one thing that this defense has done well is get to the quarterback, right? Like, even at their worst this season, they were able to get some pressure on the quarterback, and I think they hurried him like once. You know, they hit him once and got a really insanely bogus roughing the passer call.
Brutal.
When, when Chris Jones, I think the ref had a bad angle. This is not an excuse, obviously. The ref had a bad angle, thought that maybe Jones's hand hit the helmet, which it didn't. Right. Brady also had the freaking ball.
Right, in his hand still.
He was doing that. I mean, that was just a absolutely horrendous call.
That's when you hope that the other people on his team, on his officiating crew, say, hey, dude, you need to pick that up.
Yep.
Like, I think you just had a bad angle, didn't hit his head, you know.
That's the only time he got hit in 46 pass attempts.
Yeah, I think Derek Nnadi had like one, he was credited for a hurry. And that was it. That was it. Like, so, I don't know, man. Like, I just don't know. I'm curious what the argument, you know, when they have their meeting. So, Bob, how do you think he did this year? You know, like, what's his
performance
argument?
Performance review?
You know, yeah, what's the argument? It kind of, you know, I'm not trying to make light of it. I guess I am making light of it, but... because this doesn't matter. But he is a fundamentally like decent human being. And, you know, this is not some Chiefs employees in the past that we've been calling for to be fired. But it reminds me of the game in Denver in 2012, the last game of the season, when Adam Teicher, asked Romeo Crennel, basically, what is your case for keeping your job? And Romeo Crennel basically had no answer. And I like, what's the case right now? With Bob Sutton. I don't know what it would be.
We've got Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star in the studio. Back after this on WHB.
Yeah, so listen, we led the National Football League in sacks and pressures on the quarterback. I think that's a positive thing. Having Brett Veach here working with our personnel, I think he'll continue to bring an influx of players in on both sides of the ball, make great competition for the guys that are here. I like our wide receiver position. I like to get them all healthy and look forward to that. After playing a year with Patrick, you know, Kels is back, and we've got a good offensive line. So I mean, there's a good young nucleus of players. We found Ward, who I thought stepped up and had a couple of nice plays today. So that's a positive at corner. Eric Berry came back and played today, which is a positive, so, and he'll be back. I mean, there's a lot of things to be optimistic about. I just got to get through. You got to give me a little time here. So that was a tough one.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nobody wants to hear anything about Tom Brady right now, and trust me, I'm with you, but I do like the show of respect. Did you see this story about Brady after the game, Jakey?
I have not. I've eliminated his name out of my vocabulary today.
Jeff Darlington.
Okay.
Which at one point I thought you should change your name to Jake Darlington because you look like a Darlington.
Oh, man, thanks.
Jeff Darlington tweeted out, Tom Brady just quietly approached a security guard waiting outside the Chiefs locker room and asked if he could see Patrick Mahomes. Brady was escorted into a room where he spoke briefly with him. A very clear display of respect from one incredible quarterback to another. And also ESPN reported that Tom Brady approached a security guard outside of the Chiefs locker room and asked if he could see Mahomes, and they went into a private room and had a brief conversation. Just thought that was...
Game recognizes game. I think that's a great story.
Sam looks like he's going to give me the finger here in a minute, but
no. I mean, I don't know. It's cool of Brady.
Did you do that to Kent Babb at all? Asked to see him in a private room to
try to limit the amount of interaction I have with that guy.
That's, you know? Now you're talking. See,
smart man.
In a private meeting with you.
Thank you. If you could name that.
Dignitary.
Person, that person, think Chiefs, longtime member of the Chiefs organization.
I'll be happy to do that in a private meeting with you.
Bob Moore.
Chiefs historian Bob Moore is correct.
Yeah. I didn't recognize it at first, but yeah, that's Bob Moore.
You know we got a good library of drops from Bob Moore.
Yeah.
Makes the cut.
Yeah.
We were talking in the commercial break about safeties.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Berry, they were very patient with him. They waited on him all year long in hopes that he would be able to play effectively in the playoffs. He was out there. And down the stretch, a couple of times he was matched up on Rob Gronkowski. And that did not go as the Chiefs had hoped.
That was, I'm trying not to be like hyperbolic here, but that was a disaster. All year, the Chiefs have been, you know, kind of forced into being patient with Eric Berry, even when it was really hard. And it was really hard inside the organization. There was a lot of, they didn't know. There was frustration. There was uncertainty. They didn't know. They trusted that at some point this would pay off, that, you know, let him do it at his own pace. And I think there was a general feeling that, look, he'll be right for the playoffs. The Chiefs, you know, got off to the great start. It was pretty clear they were going to get in the postseason. You know, he's just saving his bullets for the playoffs, and he'll be right once we get there. I think that was the feeling inside the organization. And, you know, there was doubt, at least in my mind, when he couldn't play in the division round, right? But then when they cut Ron Parker to make room for LDT, you're like, okay, like they're pretty sure that they're going to get Eric Berry. But, you know, getting Eric Berry means being able to cover Rob Gronkowski. You know, that game where he tore his Achilles at the beginning of the 2017 season, a big part of that game, I mean, they scored, what was it, 41 points or whatever, but a big part of that game defensively was what Berry did on Gronkowski. And that was going to be a key matchup in this game last night. And, you know, I think he was okay for most of the game, but they needed him twice. They needed him on, I forgot what down it was now, but the ball that they threw the fade route down the left sideline, you know, toward the end in the fourth quarter, and he just got beat. He got beat by the guy that he needed to cover, and that set up their last touchdown in regulation. And then the other one was the 3rd and 10 in overtime on that slant, and he got beat. It was a perfect throw, absolutely perfect throw. But still, he got beat on that play, and those were the plays that he needed. They've got a big mess at that position and at inside linebacker. One of the problems is that they don't save any money by cutting Eric Berry. They can do a post-June 1 cut and spread the cap out, the cap hit, over the next 2 years, but that doesn't really save you money. You're still spending, you know, that cap is still taken up, you know, next year and the year after. It's a lot of issues. I think they found, you know, a guy, a rotational guy, maybe a little bit more in Jordan Lucas. You know, Monty Watts, they were long-term optimistic about, but I think they thought he needed some more snaps this year to really be the player they thought he could be in the future. I do think they found something in Charvarius Ward, you know, a legitimate starting cornerback at a really good price. But they've got a mess at safety, and they've got a mess at inside linebacker, and you know that's a lot to fix. 1 year after going basically, I know Khalil McKenzie, right? But basically, entire defense in the draft, they probably have to think about doing it again.
Are you concerned, or not concerned? Were you surprised that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif was inactive?
No, I mean, I don't know. I figured he was about 50-50. You know. They activated him because it was the deadline, and they had to activate him on that day. And I think, you know, obviously they felt like he wasn't going to be 100%. You know, Andrew Wiley's played well enough, but they felt like he could be an upgrade, you know, in the Super Bowl if they made it that far. And I don't think that made – I mean, they had a lot of problems on the offensive line, obviously. You know, Patrick Mahomes got hit over and over and over again. But, you know, I don't know how much of a difference LDT would have made.
Okay, I keep saying that, and Steven says the same thing. I think this team's going to be back many times in this position. I do. Some people say, well, I've heard that over and over again. I don't think we've ever said that because the Chiefs have never had this quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Coming off a playoff loss every time in the past, and who's going to be the quarterback going forward? Then people keep coming back to me and saying, what about Dan Marino? He never made it back after the first year when he went to the Super Bowl. Is this different? Is this different than Dan Marino?
I don't know. That's to be seen. I mean, there's, you know, I think there's you can make a credible case. You can make a better case that they will be back than you can that they won't, right? That quarterback, the talent they have, Andy Reid's probably got at least, I would think, 5-7 years of coaching in him. So you would make that bet, I would think. But at the same time, there are no certainties. And I remember before, was it the 2010, I believe, Super Bowl when the Packers beat the Steelers? And, you know, there was a story by Bob McGinn, who is one of the best NFL writers of all time. And he went through their cap situation and the future and basically making the case that this is the NFL's next dynasty. They've got a young quarterback, loads of young talent all through the roster. Like, this is just the beginning for the Packers. And they have not been back to the Super Bowl since. They just fired Mike McCarthy. You know, there's just no certainties. But even this, you know, even like, let's assume that we're right, that the probabilities are that the Chiefs will be back and that they can fix some things on the defense, et cetera. This was still an opportunity lost. You know, this was still an opportunity with a home game against a team that I still think they have more talent, you know, and they just got exploited. There were weaknesses that I think all of us, most of the people listening to this show right now, most of the people that care enough to be listening to the show right now, probably saw all these weaknesses all year and they weren't able to fix them. Like, you know, even if the Chiefs, and I do believe in, you know, maybe as sure as I can be about something, but like, Patrick Mahomes is just too good to not win a Super Bowl at some point. Like, you know, that's going to happen. I just think he's that good. But this was an opportunity to win one, and they didn't do it. But yeah, I mean, like, look, if the point is, there was a finality to some of these other Chiefs losses, right? Like,
because they didn't have the quarterback.
Yes.
I just think the window's opening.
It absolutely is. And that's, but I guess there's two ways to look at that, right? Like, you can look at that like, you know, God, they're good enough that that they will be back, or they should be back. We'd expect them to be back. And that's all true. I agree with that point. But I also look at it, I guess I said this in the first segment about the reason that this one, you know, kind of hits a little bit harder is this is the first time in a really long time that I felt like the Chiefs were good enough to win the Super Bowl. Those Alex Smith teams were not going to win the Super Bowl.
This is the only time that there was a moment where I actually thought, not that they might go to the Super Bowl, but the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. When the ball was in Chevarius Ward's hands, before he fumbled it out of bounds and before, you know, we saw the flag, I don't know if it was a half a second or a full second, but there was a moment of time where in my brain, I thought the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. That's never happened before in my life. So they were that close. But my point to these people that throw out the Dan Marino thing is they got that close with a terrible defense.
Yeah.
You know, like, Patrick Mahomes was so great this year that they got to the point of a coin flip keeping them out of the Super Bowl, or an offsides penalty keeping them out of the Super Bowl with a terrible defense. You know, I mean, like, I don't know.
If they would have won that game, that would have been the worst defense ever to enter the Super Bowl.
That's how good Patrick Mahomes was.
Ever.
In his first year at 23 years old.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that guy is not going to get back to this stage multiple times. I just can't believe it. I mean, things can, you know, if he stays healthy and all that.
They were seventh. I just looked this up. The Dolphins were seventh in defense the year that they lost the Super Bowl.
Right.
With Marino.
Right. Know. I mean, you know.
The game is changing.
25 spots higher than this Chiefs. You're right. It's a good point, Jake. Like, the four teams, right?
Top four offenses.
Top four offenses.
Not a single top five defense in the conference championships.
Wouldn't you expect the Chiefs to have a top four offense again next year?
Yes.
Yes. So. Mm-hmm. I would expect them to have the number one offense in the league next year.
Yeah, so that's all true, but it's still a freaking opportunity. Like, these are precious. Even if he goes on and wins 10 Super Bowls, it's like, well, it could have been 11.
Of course, it is. But, you know, people don't want to hear this either. But, you know, sometimes you have to have a loss like this before you can get over the hump. Sometimes you have to lose.
I believe that.
Sometimes you have to lose in Game 7 of the 2014 World Series before you come back and win the next year.
And look, this could lead to something a change that needs to happen, that if they didn't make this step, it might not have happened.
This is the Orlando Scandrick missing the switch in the end zone.
Right. It's the contrast that you need for growth. I mean, that's what it is.
That's
the contrast.
Oh, okay.
The contrast that you have. Okay. I mean, without contrast in life, you don't grow. You know, you're just repeating, regurgitating life, you know?
I dig it.
So this is actually needed for this team to move forward. And Andy Reid kind of spoke about that afterwards. And look, it's a small stepping stone because we've never had this before and now we had it. Mm-hmm. Now what's next? Now you got to build on this. Now you got to move forward. Now you got to take this hurt and this pain and this tough loss. You're inches away. You were inches away from the Super Bowl. Dee Ford's hand being offsides, inches away. And so now you're that close. You got to keep moving forward.
But it's not an either or. Both can be true. You could be wildly disappointed about what happened, about the missed opportunity and losing a chance to play in the Super Bowl, but still be enthusiastic and optimistic about
Absolutely.
The future of this
For sure.
football team with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Both can be true.
Yeah.
You don't have to pick either or and dig your heels and say, nope, we missed a chance, screw everything else. Because some people feel that way, and I get it. I understand that, and that's up to you. You got to get through this loss however you want to get through it.
Yeah.
But also, look, common sense will tell you if you got a 23-year-old quarterback that's about to win the MVP, threw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, and on top of that, they didn't lose because of him. He went blow for blow with Tom Brady in the fourth quarter, and the only reason he didn't score in the overtime is because he didn't get the ball.
Yeah.
On the biggest stage, how many times, two or three times in the fourth quarter, they got to score here. Mm-hmm. All the pressure in the world, and he's got the defensive mastermind of his generation over there coaching this football team, and he took him right down the field. He took him down the field in 30 seconds to score a game-winning field goal, the game-tying field goal.
Yep.
And so what did we find out? He's a great regular season quarterback. What else did we find out? He's a pretty damn good postseason quarterback with everything on the line, went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady, and didn't get a chance to finish the deal because of a coin flip and because his defense didn't get off the field. And that's it. So if you have any questions about Patrick Mahomes, I don't know what the hell you're watching. But you could still be tremendously disappointed.
And it'd be hard not to be if you're...
Because I am.
Yeah, right.
I feel both.
It's human.
There's also, like, how we feel. Today's January 21st, right? This is a lot different than, you know, even February 21st, which is a hell of a lot different than August 21st, you know, when the preseason's going.
Yeah.
It is a good point that you're making, Steve, about, like, and it was a blown opportunity. Like, that, you know, there's no argument against that. That was a blown opportunity. But if the coin goes tails instead of heads or the other way around, whatever, we're talking a lot about 31 points, 37 points probably after halftime. And that was it 39 seconds they got the ball back and that pass to Spencer Ware along the sideline and DeMarcus Robinson, like that's the magic stuff, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, there's nothing, he was bad in the first half. He just was bad. The receivers didn't help him much, but he was bad. But to be that good against that guy, like he's the best defensive coach in the history of the sport, right? And Patrick Mahomes has scored 62 points against that guy in the second half in two games this year.
Right, and you know, and I see some dummies out there that try to take away from Patrick Mahomes. Well, he just throws it to Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill does all, or Travis Kelce. Tyreek Hill had one catch. Travis Kelce had three catches, and Mahomes still put up 24 points in the fourth quarter on the Patriots.
Yeah.
So Patrick Mahomes is the offense.
Yeah, I mean, look, like Tyreek Hill was pretty good last year, and Travis Kelce's been a good tight end for a long time, but I mean, I don't know how you can watch these games and think that Pat doesn't make them better.
He took good and made great.
Dude,
yeah,
he took good. Guy, those guys were good last year with Alex Smith. Those guys were good, and he made them great.
I can't believe we're even having this conversation.
He's the MVP. No, but the conversation is about how people feel moving forward, and guess what? I'm not concerned about how other people feel about this team moving forward. I know what I feel, and I know what the reality is, and the reality is they have a once-in-a-generation quarterback for a long time. Mm-hmm.
Who makes every person around him better. Yeah. Every single person around him better. He's incredible. He made a throw yesterday in which he got smashed in the face, and he dropped down sidearm and threw an absolute strike. He made another throw, one of the biggest plays of the game to me that really hurt the team. He made another on the money, on time, on target, no-look pass to Travis Kelce that went through his hands at him in the face mask that would have had the Chiefs in a position to keep a drive alive in the second half. He does things. Like you said, nobody said he was going to be throwing to Damian Williams for two touchdown passes, could have been three, at the beginning of this season, even halfway through this season. Yeah. I mean, Damian Williams, not Tyreek Hill. You know,
the drive that took 30 seconds to set up the game-tying field goal, the two big passes were thrown to Spencer Ware and DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah.
Back after this on WHB.
I don't know if they let us score, but we ran the ball. We got up and ran it. And if the clock's running, then we can go there. It's one of those things. You know, it's not like basketball. So it's a little different sport. It's tough to score in this league. So if you have opportunities to score, you're going to score.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's take a look into your crystal ball, Sam Ellinger. Please.
It's a nice ball, dude.
Whoa. All right, then.
Why, thank you.
What coaches will not be on the staff in St. Joe, Missouri? You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah. You know, there was a time I would have said Eric Bieniemy. And there was a time I would have wondered about Dave Tobe, you know? But it looks like those guys will be back, right?
What about someone else?
I would expect the someone else who we were thinking of to be a certain gray-haired defensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
Strutton Bob Sutton, I would expect him to be not employed by the Chiefs.
So you don't think he'll be the defensive coordinator?
I don't. I really...
Will they get someone, you think, from the outside, a fresh voice? I can't imagine anyone on the staff.
No, yeah, I don't think they'll promote from within. That's what you're asking, right?
Please.
It'll be somebody that Andy knows and has, you know, probably a history with. That's how these things go. I just, even looking at it from, you know, Andy Reid's very loyal, you know, very loyal point of view, I just don't know how you bring him back. I really don't.
What? I hope you're right. What? Starting players players that play prominent roles on the team will not be back, in your opinion?
So this is top of my head to, you know, do something that would be more lasting. I would want to look at the contracts, right? You're asking who will not be back.
Right, or at least that's going to be a big question mark. There's a possibility
I'm curious about Justin Houston, to tell you the truth. I don't think he'll be back on his current contract. I think that could go down to, you know, how they negotiate. Eric Berry is a really, really interesting decision. Again, they can't save any money cutting him. If they do a post-June 1, they can spread the money out over 2 years, but that's still cap space that's being taken up. But I don't know how you can trust him at this point, right? Like, he's probably going to have surgery. I would assume he'll have a surgery. At that point you're making kind of some long-term designations, but that seems weird. Daniel Sorensen, I know he had a couple really big moments. That fourth down tackle was terrific. He was in the right place at the right time in the interception. I think he's probably gone. He's just not good enough, right? Like Reggie Ragland, I would have to look at his contract. Anthony Hitchens, I would assume they can't get out of that contract. Those are the areas that I would target, right? Like, I think
the offensive line,
yeah, they got to get better. And Mitch Morse is an unrestricted free agent, I believe, after this season. So they got some decisions there as well. But, you know, they've got three picks. They're going to be later in the round, both time, you know, all three, but they've got three picks in the first two rounds. And I would expect that to be defensive line and defensive back, like all three of those picks. I think that's kind of what they're going to target. But, yeah, you're right. Offensive line. But to a certain extent, the offensive line stuff is like some execution kind of things. Like, you know, and they were really bad. They were really – that might have been the worst game the offensive line played. You know, maybe this is recency bias, but I think that might have been the worst game the offensive line had all season. So let's not – my point here is let's not forget that they were solid for most of the season, right? They weren't great. They weren't terrible. They were about the 16th ranked, you know, offensive line. If there's a, you know, I would imagine they're right around there in whatever rankings you can find. But they were bad. They the communication, they got just crushed by stunts, stunt after stunt. I mean, they were they had nothing for the Patriots up front.
I'd like to see them get an actual second tight end who could be a factor.
Yes,
blocking and catching. And
that's something they've been talking about
doing
for a long
football
time.
Things.
Yeah, they just with so many needs on defense, it's hard to go that route. Right,
but just like the little
like a vet fixes, minimum, like a. Right. 2 year, $2 million contract, like the David Amerson contract for a tight end. Yeah. But they got to get better. I do think I think Charvarius Ward can be a starter on this team. Steven Nelson is an unrestricted free agent. I'm guessing he'll be gone, but I actually think he can play a little bit. But they've got to get better, at corner. They definitely got to get better at safety, got to get better at inside linebacker. And I would ask for some depth on the pass rush because I don't know how much I trust Justin Houston's health going forward. I think he's a really good player, but I don't know how much I trust his health.
What do you do with D Ford?
Franchise him probably. Depends on, prioritize, Chris Jones and Ty Hill and, see if you can get those guys on extensions. And after that, see what you got under the cap. But I think D Ford played his way into a contract for sure.
Nate, do you disagree with that?
Recency bias is creeping up on me right now because I watched the guy not have a single tackle in the most important game of the season and didn't line up offsides on the game on the play that would have. I mean, he just,
Well, neither did Chris Jones.
Chris Jones at least batted a pass down. I mean, that's probably unfair. I mean, they double teamed or chip blocked D Ford a lot yesterday. It's not all his fault that he didn't get to the quarterback.
You can't let that one game and those bad plays erase the great season he had.
I do think he is. I wish he was a more complete player. It's tough for me to franchise a guy that's a one-trick pony. Yeah. But that trick is one of the most important tricks in the NFL is getting after the quarterback. I get that.
You got to bring him back.
But this defense was bad with him.
I'm not saying lock him up long term.
They were very good at sacking the quarterback this year, but they were very bad defense. I don't know, man.
I did think D Ford went from atrocious to merely bad against the run. Maybe that's a distinction.
It could be part of the scheme, too. I don't know. I mean, he's not good at stopping the run.
I would hire a new defensive coordinator, and I would ask him, what do you want to do with defense?
Yeah, Greg Williams, what do you want to do?
I was just looking up Greg Williams.
So what did he have, 13 sacks and 7 forced fumbles?
Can he bring all of his baggage?
Those are big plays. I get it. I mean, maybe you just franchise him.
But you have to bring him back. Who else is going to get after the quarterback on this
Who else gets there that quick? When D Ford's going, man, he changes some
things. You can't trust Justin Houston at this point.
Something that's been brought up a lot is why he and Justin Houston were on opposite sides yesterday compared to what they've been playing. And I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know the answer either.
Sam Ellinger, what will you work on this week?
You know what? I haven't spent a minute thinking about that.
Now you have.
Because I had some Super Bowl ideas, guys. that's what I was. I thought I was going to be doing this week. So I don't know. I might go home and take a nap.
We'll go to Chuck E. Cheese.
I do.
That's where I'm going.
Go as a family.
The lunch.
You got a little birthday, do you?
Shopping as well. The twins turned 10 today.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to rush home, pick them up, little shopping. Little Chuck E. Cheese.
I've heard Chuck E. Cheese throws a hell of a birthday party.
Chuck's a good guy.
This is going to be, just going to go in there and see what's shaking. I'm actually looking forward to the distraction.
There you go.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Big KU game tonight, Sam.
Yeah, big Monday.
Right about that.
As the Big 12 races toward mediocrity. Which team can mediocre their way to the top of the Big 12?
Hey, big game. Right about that.
I don't know, man.
Is that how you get instruction from the powers that be over the Kansas? Hey, Sam. Yeah. Big KU game. Right about that.
Right about that one.
Click. Okay.
There you go.
I haven't gotten that call
yet.
Go take a nap?
Yet.
That's right. Only from Jake.
It's
right.
Coming.
That's the guy you need to talk to. Yeah. That's your idea box right there.
The big hump.
A lot of things for you to write about.
I do.
Thank you, Sam Ellinger.
Oh, thank you, guys.
That's Sam Ellinger from the Kansas City Star. Back after this on WHB.
The big hump.